over the over time, I've had conversations with people, and I'll just kind of summarize the way it's put to me. Do you ever feel like you're the only one out there relative to things that are taught and so forth? And no, I don't. I mean, there are others that teach what we teach here. It's just that there aren't that many. You can find a whole lot of other people that teach other things, okay? So, no, I don't feel alone. I really don't. You know, if I were to focus in on how many others, you know, don't teach what we share with you, then in other words, let me put it like this. If I focused on me, yeah, I would. But I don't focus on me. I focus on the Lord because it's not about me. It's about Him. So from that perspective, no, I don't feel alone. I really don't. Besides, you know, I can always make a phone call here or there to some people and, you know, talk to them as well. But I want you to open up to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Because what we're going to look at tonight, I mean, if anybody ever was going to feel alone in what He was preaching and teaching, it was Jesus. Nobody but Jesus was preaching and teaching what Jesus was preaching and teaching. He was it. And we're going to look at some things tonight relative to that. In chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, look in verse 28. But before you read it, let me set the stage. Back in chapter 5, Jesus begins teaching. In fact, you know, in chapter 5, verse 1, it talks about Him being up in the mountain and then people are there with Him and He starts to teach and so forth. So chapters 5, 6, and 7, it's what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And boy, is He teaching some incredible things. You know, in certain parts of this, He says, "You've heard it said, but I say unto you. You've heard it said, but I say unto you." And then in verse 28, it says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Put it another way, not as their religious leaders. Or, put it another way, not as any religious leader they had ever known. Out of all the people they'd ever heard minister, they'd never heard anybody minister like Jesus, ever. This was incredible. That's why they were astonished. Now think with me for a moment. These people are hearing something they've never heard before. And yet, as He's presenting it, He's making reference to what they have heard. You've heard it said, you've heard it taught, you've heard it shared. Or in other words, your religious leaders have said unto you. But now let me share something else with you folks. I say unto you, etc. and so forth. The folks are sitting there listening and thinking, my goodness, this is incredible. It's like there's something marvelous about what He is saying here. And He's teaching like somebody who has authority, not like what they're used to. Now look over in chapter 23. In chapter 23, actually, yeah, no. I don't think we want chapter 23. Maybe we want somewhere else. Tell you what, let's just go to Mark. I'm not sure. And I don't want to stand here and look. Mark chapter 1. Verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, He entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were, here it is again, astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." In other words, you know, shut up and get out. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, meaning he convulsed, and cried with a loud voice, in other words, he scared half the congregation, which is exactly what would have happened. You don't think so? Let's cast a demon out of somebody and have them go through these verse 26 antics and see how many people hang around for the end of the service. And cried with a loud voice, he came out of him And look at this. And they were all amazed. They were astonished. Now they're amazed. Insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. So here he is preaching and teaching, and the people are just they're dumbfounded by this doctrine that they're hearing. But not only are they dumbfounded by the doctrine they're hearing, they're also amazed at what this doctrine is producing. They're seeing things happen that they haven't seen before. And he's got this reputation that is spreading like crazy. Now think for a minute. What do you think was being said about Jesus? It says that his fame spread about him. All right? Do you think maybe it was something like this? Boy, you have, next time this guy's around, anywhere near, I mean anywhere near, walking distance, camel distance, whatever it is, anywhere near, you have got to come with me and hear this guy. Well, what's so special about him? You should hear the way this guy teaches. I mean, it's like he's got special insight to the things of God. It's like he can open up the scriptures and teach things. It's just incredible. I mean, why? We were sitting in the service the other day, and he was saying, you have heard it said, but I say unto you, and then they would try to repeat things Jesus said. Can you understand what I'm saying? Have any of you ever done the same thing? You get all excited about something you hear, and then you run over because you want to tell somebody, it's the greatest thing in the world, and you're trying to explain it, and they look at you like, what? What? And so finally you just say, just come with me. just come with me, all right? So his fame is spreading. And even if the people that were hearing their friends testify were questioning, like, what are they trying to explain to me? Still, the excitement of their friends would have caused them to be curious to where many of them would go to hear Jesus. All right, now let's jump over to Mark 11. There are other passages in here that we could look at where the same kind of thing is repeated. The people are amazed at what he was teaching, surprised at what he was teaching, you know, astonished, and so on and so forth. But we've seen just enough, so you get the image. Now, in Mark chapter 11, look what happens. Verse 15. Speaking of Jesus, his disciples, they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Okay, what's he doing? Is he not confronting religion in a very visible fashion? And would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now, do you think anybody might be getting a little uncomfortable right about now? Guarantee it. Well, verse 18. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and they sought how they might give him offerings. What is this man's address? We need to send him a check and thank him for straightening out this congregation. No. The scribes and chief priests heard it, and they sought how they might destroy him. Destroy him. That's a fine thank you. For they feared him. Well, why were they afraid? Because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. In other words, what's happening is this. The way Jesus is teaching, it's starting to make sense. And people are starting to catch on. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me such and such and thus? But Brother Scribe over here, and Brother Pharisee over here, and Brother Priest over here, they say thus and thus and such. But Jesus, you're telling me that in the prophets it says, and that in the law it says, and then you're explaining that, but that's not what they say. And yet, you're right. There's something about this. You're right. I can see it now. And we know that Jesus did a whole lot more teaching than what is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because John wrote that if everything Jesus did and said was recorded, why, the books would fill up the whole world. So we know that what we have as we read here in the four Gospels, it's like the Holy Spirit moved on the writers, on those who put these together, to only give us really a very, very brief synopsis of everything Jesus taught. It's not all in here. And so Jesus, you know there would have been question and answer time. I'll guarantee you, we know that the disciples at times got together with him and said, "Now Jesus, explain this parable to us." And with all of the thousands of people, I mean, at one time, remember the loaves and the fishes? And there were 5,000 men, let alone the women and children. Why, there might have been 10,000 people there that day. And that was just one service. So his reputation really is growing. And people are listening to him. And you know that there would have been times where somebody would have had questions. You know, maybe they caught him after the service. Or maybe they went up to, you know, like Peter and said, "Peter, look, I got a question. You know, when Jesus said such and such and thus, I mean, what exactly did he mean?" Now, there's a good chance Peter didn't understand. And Peter might have said, "Well, hold on here. Jesus, you mind stopping all that healing just for a minute? Come over here, we got a question." That wouldn't have been like that. But there would have been people asking questions. So see, there's a lot of things that aren't recorded in here that would have gone on. Well, religion is having a hard enough time with this, okay? But the moment that he touches their pocketbook, what happens? They're going to kill him. This phrase, "might destroy," this is talking about, it's like a twofold meaning, the way it's used here in this. It's talking about, first off, we're going to do everything we can to discredit him. And if that doesn't work, we'll kill him. I mean, if we can't mess up his ministry, we'll kill him and put an end to his ministry. That's what that phrase, "might destroy," mean. It can mean totally discredit, to ruin one's reputation, or to kill, to completely obliterate, to annihilate. So here it is. Notice it's the scribes and the chief priests, the religious leaders, sit down to try and figure out how they can destroy him, because they were really concerned, and the reason they were really concerned is all the people were really amazed at the doctrine of Jesus. They liked what they were hearing. In other words, the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests, they're starting to lose members. Now, Jesus didn't have a church, but you understand the imagery here, okay? Now, let's look in John chapter 7. The people were amazed at his doctrine, and the religious leaders hated him for it. And what's amazing is that when they confronted him, and he turns around, remember he quotes from the Word, "Isn't it said, haven't you heard, don't you understand, my house shall be called a house of prayer." He's saying, here's what God has said. Here's what the Word says. And the scribes and the Pharisees, the priests, the religious leaders, they say, this guy's confronting us concerning our error. This isn't good, because it could really hurt our offerings. And if it hurts the offerings, we may have to go off the air on certain stations. So we got to do something about this guy. So Jesus, look here in John chapter 7, verse 16. Now wait a minute. Oh, I'm in Luke 7. I need to catch up with you. I was about to read something. I thought, this can't happen twice in one service. John 7, verse 16. Jesus, now he answered them. People are questioning. Look in verse 15. All the Jews marveled, saying, "How in the world does this man know what he's talking about? Where did he get his education? He didn't go to college." And Jesus says, "My doctrine, my teaching, is not mine, but his that sent me." Okay, now, why did he say that? Very simple. I mean, technically, is this Jesus' doctrine or not? I mean, it is. But why did he say, "It's not mine, it's the one who sent me, it's his who sent me"? Why did he say that? because he was trying to make it very clear that the doctrine he taught was not earthly in origin. It didn't come about as a result of men sitting down and thinking about, well, what can we teach? Well, what do you think? Well, I think it's this and thus. And what do you think? Well, I think it's thus and this. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's vote on it and see what we teach. And that'll be our doctrine. Jesus was saying, hey, it doesn't work like that. In other words, what did he say? I'm not like your scribes and your priests and your Pharisees. I preach doctrine that comes straight from heaven. And this is why he said, it's not mine, but his that sent me. Look over in Mark chapter 1. Mark 1, verse 14. Now after that Jesus was put in prison, or after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. All right? Now we could interject the word doctrine in here, because that's what he was saying. Let's just look at it this way. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the doctrine of the kingdom of God. Now I know it says the gospel, but you can't separate the gospel from the doctrine that Jesus preached. You understand what I mean? The doctrine he preached was the gospel, and the gospel he preached was the doctrine. And saying, the time is at hand, is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the doctrine of the gospel, or the doctrine of the kingdom, or the doctrine that I'm sharing unto you. So Jesus says, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. And the doctrine he's preaching is the doctrine of the kingdom. It's very simple to come to this conclusion. It's very simple to see this. Now look over in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. In verse 3, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. He could be speaking to all of us, really. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he goes on and explains some more things in the next few verses. And he tells, in verse 5, when he says that except a man be born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Oh, he's talking about being born again here. Okay, now let's think what we have. Jesus was going around preaching and teaching the doctrine of the kingdom. Okay? Now, as he does this, the people are amazed at this. They're astonished. And not only are they astonished at his teaching, but they're also seeing some pretty cool things happen. You know, dead people get raised now and then. You know, blind eyes are opening. So they're seeing this, and it's like, man, this is pretty amazing. And his doctrine is not his, but it comes straight from heaven, the one who sent him. And it's the doctrine of the kingdom. And he tells us that the way we get into the kingdom is to be born again. So therefore, the doctrine of the kingdom that he is teaching applies to those who have entered into the kingdom by becoming born again. Does that make sense? Now, who got mad about this? The religious leaders, right? They got very upset about this. Upset about the doctrine of the kingdom. And here's what's interesting. You know, as they're going through and they're teaching the law and the prophets, they're teaching the type and shadow, the shadows of the doctrine kingdom, or the kingdom doctrine. See? Then when it shows up, they get mad. How dare you confirm everything we've been preaching all these years? This is not right. So here's Jesus teaching all of this. It's the kingdom, it's the doctrine of the kingdom, and we get into the kingdom when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Okay, now let's think for a moment. What we've looked at to this point is the fact that he taught kingdom doctrine, and the people were astonished at this doctrine, amazed at this doctrine, and he was getting quite a following of people. You know, his fame was spreading, and folks were following, thousands of people were starting to follow after him. So now what we're going to do at this point is take a brief look, just a brief look, at some of the kingdom doctrine that he taught. Not a whole lot of it, just a brief look. Back over in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for he For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Okay, well, Jesus, can you share a little bit about what that means? No problem. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Sure, Jesus, that makes sense. He goes, well, let me take it a little bit further. Behold, or consider, the birds, the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Well, of course we are, Jesus. Okay? Since you're in agreement with me, then the obvious question is this. Why are you sowing to try and reap to gather into your barns? Can you see this? Can you see what he is talking about? Now, people can fuss about this as long as they want to, but he is addressing the issue of sowing and reaping for financial prosperity. And he is saying, in the kingdom, this is kingdom doctrine, in the kingdom, you don't do that. You say, wait a minute, Brother Martin. There's a whole lot of there are a whole lot of preachers out there that preach that. But you're saying that that's not kingdom doctrine? No. My doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. What does him that sent me say? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? So then, if that's kingdom doctrine, why is it that there is so much sowing and reaping being taught? Do you see this? You know, I got questions about that. No problem. There is a 44-tape series. Seriously, I mean, you got questions? I'm not going to stand here and reteach this. 44 sermons in one night? Ain't no way. Get the tape set. Pretty soon we'll be able to tell you to get it, to download it. Okay? Just get it. 44 sermons. I know it's going to take you a while. We're going to address all that here in a few minutes. But he is addressing the sowing and reaping doctrine, the prosperity sowing and reaping. This is exactly what he's talking about. So how is it that so many people miss it? Well, let's look at another one. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Now look here. Verse 15. Now again, this is kingdom doctrine. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen, Brother Jesus. We can do that. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Amen, Brother Jesus. Right on. You got it there, brother. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Oh, hold on, Jesus. Hold on. You got the first two right? First two verses, you got that right. But these last two, I'm sorry, brother, but, you know, uh-uh. Not today. Now, hold on. This is kingdom doctrine, is it not? He's teaching it. He's sharing it. This is kingdom doctrine. So now, if this is kingdom doctrine, and really any evangelical church, you can get them to agree on verses 15 and 16. All of them. Any evangelical church that preaches John chapter 3, you must be born again, is going to lock arms and stand in agreement with verses 15 and 16. Absolutely will be in agreement with this. Why is it then that we draw a line in between verse 16 and verse 17 and declare that is no longer doctrine? How can we do that? Jesus is the one teaching this. So therefore, verses 17 and 18 are kingdom doctrine. Let's point out the two that we know for sure are sticking points for most people. The tongues part and the laying on of hands part for people to be healed. This is kingdom doctrine. And we you and I can debate about it But it's not going to erase it out of the Bible. That is still kingdom doctrine. Let's look at another. John chapter 14. John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. But we don't even need to read the rest of that verse at this moment. What is kingdom doctrine? Kingdom doctrine is this. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Okay? Rattle off some works. We can do that. Blind eyes open, deaf ears open, lame people walk, dead are raised, devils are cast out, on and on it goes. This is kingdom doctrine. Okay? Now, we're not going to be able to get away from this. It's kingdom doctrine. And it's going to be kingdom doctrine. Look over in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. How many of you see that? Now let's paraphrase it, amplify it. Even if heaven and earth were to pass away, that would not alter one jot or tittle of my words of the kingdom doctrine that I have given unto you. It's not, in other words, we are stuck with it. Whether we want it or not, we are stuck with it. And there are other things we could look at that Jesus taught about. We just use these few as an example. So, again, quick reference to these few, what we see in here is that kingdom doctrine given to us by the one who made it possible for us to get into the kingdom, that kingdom doctrine says, in part, what are you doing sowing and reaping? Don't you think God already knows what you need? Consider the birds. Watch their life. You mean more to God than them. They don't sow, they don't reap, they gather into their barns. Why are you doing this? In other words, sowing and reaping for prosperity makes no sense in the kingdom. Yeah, but Brother Martin, all my life, I know. I've heard it too. But you're telling me it doesn't make sense. Precisely. Where do you get off telling me it doesn't make sense? All I did was go back and read what the King of the Kingdom said. And the King's words stand. We've learned that we're supposed to be casting out devils. That's kingdom doctrine. Speak with new tongues. That's kingdom doctrine. Lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. Kingdom doctrine. We've learned that we can do His works. Kingdom doctrine. Whatever we see that He did, we can do it. Kingdom doctrine. This is kingdom doctrine. And kingdom doctrine isn't going to pass away. So in other words, whatever kingdom doctrine Jesus established in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, do you understand? As long as the kingdom exists, we're in the kingdom, the doctrine exists in the kingdom. You see this? That's kingdom doctrine. Okay, now, look in John chapter 16. Here's the thing. You know, this should not be a problem. Just think about it for a second. It shouldn't be a problem. There should be, if we're born again and we're in the kingdom, why is it a challenge to go through and read the kingdom doctrine that Jesus has given to us and then sit back and say, no, it's not right? How is that such a difficulty? But yet, for some of us, we've done that and believed we were right. Now, John. John 16. You're there and waiting for me. Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Okay, now let's think for a moment. Whatever crosses Jesus' lips, do you think it's going to be relative to kingdom doctrine? pretty simple, is it not? Now, if he says, I have many things to say unto you, or look, there's more I need to teach you, but right now I just can't do it. That means that in addition to everything he has said to this point, there is more kingdom doctrine to come. So the obvious question is, well now Jesus, hold on here. You know, you've been with us for 3.5 years, you've been giving us kingdom doctrine all this time, and by the way, we've been astonished. But if you're leaving, how are we going to know the rest of the kingdom doctrine? Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Okay, now, let's think of it this way. What did Jesus say? Jesus is teaching and teaching, and the people say, but where's this coming from? And Jesus says, my doctrine is not my own, but him that sent me. Okay? Now, remember what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit? I won't leave you comfortless. I'll go to the Father and send you another comforter. Okay? And he tells us, I've got more doctrine to share with you. The problem is, right now, I just can't do it. And I know you're wondering, how's it going to happen? Well, when he, the Holy Spirit, gets here, then what he's going to do is guide you into all truth. And then over, you don't have to turn to it, but back over in chapter 14, he talks about how that he'll teach you all things. Okay, all things what? Relative to the kingdom, kingdom doctrine. But he makes this statement here, he'll not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, that shall he speak. In other words, what he's telling you is this. Whatever you get from the Holy Spirit is not going to be his self-contrived doctrine, just like what you got from me was not my self-contrived doctrine. It came straight from heaven. When the Holy Spirit gives you the doctrine and picks up where I left off and keeps teaching you these things, it's going to come from the same source. He'll pick up where I left off, remind you of what I've taught you, clarify it, expand on it, and give you more. It's like, my goodness, that sounds pretty exciting. Well, sure it does. Now let's think for a minute. Oh, by the way, if you want to know how the Holy Spirit does this, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where he talks about if I pray in tongues. It's not me. You know, my spirit's praying. My understanding is unfruitful. I'm edifying myself, etc. and so forth. Okay, so we see the process then by which the Holy Spirit conveys that information on a spiritual level. Okay, now this is all kingdom doctrine. What you see in the rest of the New Testament is kingdom doctrine. Now here's what's really interesting. When you go through and you read, and you just be honest with yourself. Okay. Just flat out be honest. You're not going to find anywhere where somebody is contradicting what Jesus said concerning the sowing and reaping. Not if you leave doctrine in context. You're not going to find where anybody is refuting Jesus concerning doing his work. You're not going to find where anybody is refuting Jesus concerning the blind eyes and the deaf ears and so on and the opening and the miracles. You're not going to find anybody refuting that. You're not going to find anybody refuting doing the works of Jesus, the laying on of hands. You're not going to find anybody refuting that. What you're going to see would be person after person demonstrating it, living it. Now, we've taught a lot of things here over time. We've taught about, the whole prosperity thing. Big, long series on that. And look over. Let me show you another one. Look in Matthew 24 while I'm thinking about it. Matthew 24. Actually, it's not Matthew 24. This is okay, it's Matthew 7. That's what it is. Matthew 7. Sorry. Now look at verse 21. Not every one of you that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? In other words, haven't we done John 14:12? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. All right, now, kingdom doctrine. He is not teaching eternal security in this passage. He flat out is not. And again, you got questions about that? We've got a tape series. Is my eternity secure? Get it. Just get it and listen to it. Just get it. It breaks all this down and more, a lot more. He's not teaching eternal security. Okay, so what is a kingdom doctrine? It is not eternal security. It is, yeah, you may do John 14:12, but you can get really goofy and blow it. I mean, that's a real, that's the Martinized version of what he's saying here. But he's not teaching eternal security. Okay, now let's think about this. We've taught here about that issue, the eternal security. We've taught about the prosperity. We've taught about the, we could have gone through and talked about, you know, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, et cetera, and so forth, and, you know, brought that in as the eternal, or not the eternal security, but the generational curses thing, and how there's no such thing as these generational curses that are being taught. And we've talked about, the John 14:12 anointing to do the works of Jesus and so on. I mean, we've taught about these things over and over again and over and over again. All right, now, what's the problem? You say, what do you mean, Brother Martin? Okay, why aren't more people teaching these things? Because you know my style of teaching. I don't just stand up here and, blab something. I take you through Scripture and I break things down and I show you in the Word. And it's not because I'm so great and Mr. Wonderful or anything like that. It's just because it's what's in God's Word. You know what? When you stick to the Word of God, it makes you look smart. Because you're letting God preach a sermon for you. You don't have to sit around and scratch your head and come up with something else. You just go with what's said. You just go with kingdom doctrine. That's all there is to it. Okay, so now why is it that there aren't that many people teaching these things? I mean, think for a moment tonight. What I have shared with you, it's not that complicated. And I showed you right in the Word. And I know that some of you have been underwhelmed, underwhelmed by what I've shown you. In other words, you didn't sit there and think, oh, wow, ooh, I'm shaking, I can feel. You weren't like that. Why? Because what I showed you tonight was so doggone simple, was it not? Absolutely. So why then does it become very complicated if I take this and try to teach it in other churches? Why do we suddenly have a... Turn to Mark 11 again. Mark 11. And look. Verse 18. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and they sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. Why do we have Mark 11:18 happening when such a simple message as what I've shared with you to this point is delivered? Why? Why do we have the scribes and the Pharisees today stand up to refute these things? What did Jesus say? He said, "My doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me." And there's more to come, but I don't have time right now. But when the Holy Spirit gets here, He'll remind you of what I've said all about the kingdom, explain it to you. He'll give you more. But just like with me, what He speaks will not be His own. He will only speak what He hears. He'll follow my pattern when it comes to delivering kingdom doctrine to you. That right there is why so many churches, so many modern day scribes and priests and Pharisees don't go along with this. You say, well, could you explain it a little better? Yes. The doctrine that they're teaching is theirs, not His who sent them. It's not a complicated issue. But it becomes complicated when the scribes and the priests intervene. And they step in between the people and the one who has sent them, get the people's attention, and direct it over here to them. They'll give you the foundation of you must be born again, but beyond that, God only knows what you're going to hear. Now listen, the scribes and the priests gave the people the foundation of the law, but they took them way off on tangents beyond that. It's the same thing. It's no different today than what it was back then. And Jesus was trying to correct it, and look what happened to him. They threw him out of churches. They conspired to kill him, to destroy him, to discredit him. They sent people to him to publicly question him with questions they thought he could not answer. And yet every time he came back with the right, he came back with kingdom answers. And the way he would respond, there were people that was like, hey, that's really cool. He made them look dumb. We like you, Jesus. The same thing is going on today, though. You've got people out there who are, all right, you want a real life example. You. If you have once gone out and tried to share the things you've heard here with people who don't believe them, what happened to you? I can tell by your response. You got Mark 11:18'd, didn't you? Okay, now, this goes back to the fact that the doctrine that's being delivered, it's not coming from the one who sent them. The foundation of Jesus Christ is there, but they're veering off that foundation with all of these other things. And they're not teaching the kingdom doctrine that Jesus Christ gave. Now, let me just say this, kind of a blanket statement, and to whomever it applies, you know, just meditate on this. What is your problem? What is your problem with accepting the doctrine that Jesus Christ has established? Why are you struggling with this? You say, Brother Martin, may I interject something? Yes, please, go ahead. This is a variation of things we've heard in the past. You're right. And it's like part of this message tonight is from one sermon and part's from another sermon. And so, yes, you're right. So, since, you know, I kind of already understand these things, no criticism here, Brother Martin, at all. I mean, why are you like going over it again? Good question. It's because not everybody's got it down. That's why. And, plus, you've got too many people who depend on what they can pull in with their ears on Sunday and Wednesday to get these truths established in them, and they are not getting those tapes and meditating on this doctrine. They absolutely are not. Remember what I said earlier about how that what Jesus did, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what we have here, it's just a synopsis of 3.5 years of His ministry. You think the times it talks about here, about and He went to and preached, and He went and He taught, and you think those are the only times He ever spoke to anybody? You think those are the only times that He ever preached and taught in a synagogue, just the ones that are identified here? No, absolutely not. You think these are the only times He got thrown out? I doubt it. Now, if Jesus had had a tape ministry, do you think He would have told the people something like, you need to get my Sermon on the Mount tapes? That's going to clarify this. You need to get my Beatitude teaching. That's going to clarify this. You need to get, you see what I'm saying? Do you think He would have done that? I guarantee you He would have. Oh, and all the thousands of people that were all over the place and following Him and listening to Him, you just know they would have listened to those tapes now, don't you? Some would have, but not all. And the ones that didn't, they would have trusted what they heard 1.5 years ago, the few times they could get around and listen to Him. In other words, Sunday morning and Wednesday night, they would have trusted what they could pull in with their ears to be the, and that, if you want to see the problem with that, just read what's written beyond the book of Acts. 1 Corinthians is a prime example. You are divided. Why? Because you're not listening to the tapes. You're trying to soak in with a few times that you hear somebody teach, and you end up twisting it. I'm of Apollos. Apollos delivers kingdom doctrine. Twist, twist, twist. Paul delivers. Twist, twist, twist. And you're of this and you're of that. Can you see what I'm talking about here? Okay, now, during praise and worship, the Lord brought something to mind. I mean, I could see this as clear as a bell. Do you know what is really supposed to happen? And this is, man, this is, if you don't get anything else tonight, this right here is a nugget. Do you know what's really supposed to happen in cell groups? I'm going to tell you right now. This is straight from Him who sent me. What is supposed to happen in cell groups is a variation on the theme of get the tapes and listen to them. In other words, somebody who is rooted and grounded in this is supposed to head up the cell groups to teach these things so that, now listen to this, this is incredible, deep calleth unto deep, so that when everybody comes together at one time, at one place, Sunday morning, Sunday night, when they all come together, the pastor can take them to the next step. And then in the cell groups, the cell group leaders who are rooted and grounded in this stuff, explain, teach, sow it deeper into the people that maybe weren't there on the Sunday to hear it. Do you understand what I'm saying? But what do you have with cell groups? Discussion groups. Debate groups. Argument groups. You have people that are barely rooted and grounded in born again, heading up cell groups and trying to teach stuff. And it's like, as I'm standing there, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing a cell group, and the person heading up the cell group is the neo-pastor. In other words, this person understands it and is delivering it to the people in the cell group. And if they have some questions, they can ask questions. But the person in charge is in charge and doesn't let it get out of hand with all the questions. Well, I think it ought to be, and I don't think it ought to be. Well, you're both wrong. Let me show you right here. So when you don't have cell groups, what's the next best thing? Tapes! This is why so many people are struggling. And here's the crazy thing about it. Just think. You have all these churches out there being pastored by people that do love Jesus. They do. That's not. We're not questioning that. They honestly love the Lord. And they want more people born again. And they want more people in the kingdom. They really want to see this. But the problem is, they don't understand kingdom doctrine that the king of the kingdom has given to the kingdom. And so what they have to do then is come up with their own to fill in the gaps. And that's what they deliver to the people. And here's what's incredible about this. You literally have millions of Christians flocking into these churches. And they're not getting kingdom doctrine. Okay, then somebody comes along simply repeating the kingdom doctrine that's recorded in here. And what happens? They get Mark 11:18.
How can you say that?
And they conspire together to burn the tapes. They tell their people, don't go to that church. It's a cult. That's been said about this. They're teaching kingdom doctrine. Bless God, it's a cult. Stay away from that truth. It will only mess you up. You might like it and leave our church and start giving money over there. We can't have that. We got to keep you here. Now, I know that's a little extreme, but in reality, that's what happened. And Nicodemus, he was catching on. He goes to Jesus at night. But if you keep reading in the four Gospels, there was a place later on where Nicodemus kind of opened his mouth to kind of share. He tested the waters a little bit, and he got shot down really fast. Same thing's going to happen. You let a pastor Get a hold of the tapes. Start getting a hold of kingdom doctrine. And then try to share it with his peers. Eventually, I'm telling you right now, in some organizations, word will get out. He'll be gone. They will unceremoniously remove him from the pastorate. Kingdom doctrine is what God wants us to live by. If it's anything but, it can't produce what God has promised. Now, I want to say this again. I'm going to carry this a step forward. You know, I talk a lot about, you know, you get the tapes and listen. And I listen, guys. I know it falls on deaf ears. And I know that a lot of you aren't doing that. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you this is how it is. And if the Holy Ghost convicts you over this, praise God. It's not that I want you hearing my voice. I want you guys rooted and grounded in things to go beyond where you are right now to fulfill everything God's called you to do. That's what this is about. But it's not just you. All of you listening to this, hey, you on the radio, listen. There's a bunch of you out there should have been ordering these tapes all along and you haven't. You wimps, what's your problem? And I'm telling you right now, don't you turn me off. You listen to me. There's a bunch of you out there that God has spoken to you, and you're supposed to have your backsides in this church, and you know it. Because some of you have written letters to me. And the things that you've expressed to me, you know you're in the wrong church. When you write and you tell me that you don't get what you're hearing in your own church and how that your own church teaches things wrong, for crying out loud, what's wrong with you? Okay, now you can switch the station, I guess, if you want to. Go back and listen to Reba or Garth, whatever you were listening to before. I don't know. See, it's not just here. It's out there in radio land. Hallelujah. It's going on. It's everywhere. And here's what God has shown me that's really, I mean, bummed out, I guess you could say in a way, but I don't let it overwhelm me, is that there just aren't that many Christians who are really concerned. They're happy they're going to heaven, they love Jesus, and they praise God for that. But they really, really don't care about whether or not what they believe is right. As long as they can live their lives, bring in the paycheck, pay the bills, you know, have some kind of a normal life, everything's okay. But when it comes to really growing and developing spiritually, they really don't care. And I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I'm just saying there just aren't that many. God's shown that to me. See, at one time in my life, I thought everybody would be excited about truth. They're not. I guess I should have paid attention to what happened to Jesus. And I just want to share this with you. Challenge yourself. How much do you really want to know, and how far into God do you really want to go? Then this applies to me too, okay? I can stop right where I am right now. I wish you would. No, I don't mean the sermon. I'm talking about in my walk with God. I could stop right here, right now. And everything that I know, I'd still know it. But I wouldn't go any further. I'd still be right here. I'd be at this place. I don't want to stay here, though, at this place, in this level of my relationship. I want to go deeper with Him. I want to go really deep into Him. I want to know more. I want to get to the place. Just to use examples, okay? I want to get to the place where people are healed when my shadow touches them. I want to get to the place where clogs touch my body and they're taken to people and people are healed and devils are cast out. I want to get to that place. Not, you know, to draw all the attention to me, but because I'm walking in that place with Jesus to where my flesh is paper thin and He is able to reach through me and touch others. See, that's what I'm after. And it's all connected with kingdom doctrine. You can't separate the two. And so I want to encourage you again, in closing, and I am. I don't typically have 4 and 5 closings. I want to encourage you. Jesus talked to the disciples, and He talked about, you know, beware the leaven, scribes and Pharisees, and they thought He was talking about bread. And He says, no, and they figured out He was talking about their doctrine. Beware the doctrine of any preacher, any teacher, any pastor, any evangelist, anywhere on this planet. Beware of their doctrine if it does not line up with kingdom doctrine. And for crying out loud, man, don't Don't burn your brain cells listening to it. It's not doing you any good whatsoever. I don't care how good or sweet or nice they are. Give yourself over to truth and let it build you up so that you can become everything that God desires and you can fulfill His calling on your life in this world. Praise God.